And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio once again Chief Lance Ketterling of the Palmer Police Department. Welcome, Chief.
Thanks, Mike. Happy to be here.
Well, I had a couple of topics that I wanted to throw out to address, but I guess one of them involves a question I had as what developed as a massive malware attack on the borough's infrastructure, their data systems and so on progressed. And I had a chance to talk with the IT director there, and they have been involved now weeks into repairing and upgrading and fixing. And this was an external attack that happened, and the result is that not only has the borough's IT staff, but also the FBI and a number of consultants have been brought in to take a look at this. And it raised a question in my mind, in terms of attacks of this sort, which are on computer systems and so on around, what role does the Palmer Police Department play in any of that involving cybercrime?
Well, with the specific instance of the borough that you mentioned, the answer is quite simple. We don't have a role. That was directly reported to, like you said, federal authorities who are working to resolve this issue. And it was an extremely complex and sophisticated attack on the Mat-Su borough. So it clearly beyond the IT capabilities of any type of forensics exam that the Palmer Police Department might do on another organization's computers if they happen to be in our town. So regarding cybersecurity in general, we are available for classes for parents, individuals, organizations, and can help out with cybersecurity. The best thing to do is have a good, robust conversation with your IT provider if you have one. And if you're an individual, just do as much research as you can regarding cybersecurity and how to take care of your data, have good solid backups that you can recover if you need to in the event that you are hit, and just do the best you can. And if there is an issue, whether it's scamming or a virus, you can feel free to report it to us. Our involvement with computer viruses is next to nothing. We typically don't do that. When we get involved with issues involving computers and IT, it's usually because we've seized a machine or a device or a phone or something along those lines, and we're looking for evidence on it of some kind.
Okay.
And so usually that involves drug crimes, but property crimes as well, also crimes of domestic violence or assault when it involves text. So we are heavily involved in those types of investigations, and we have people that are forensically trained to search those devices for evidence that we're allowed to gather pursuant to a search warrant. And then for things like computer scams, that sort of thing, identity theft, we typically direct people to the federal authorities. And the reason is that many of these things originate outside the United States. And okay. So the people that are actually doing the scamming, although occasionally they are in Alaska, often it's not. They're either in Lower 48 or in many cases, perhaps most, they're not even in the country. And so resources being what they are in Palmer, it's very hard for us to get any significant justice for victims in those particular instances, other than to direct them to an organization that might be able to better help.
Okay. Well, that's a great answer, because you do have a role. Obviously, when something happens locally, and as you described, there is a role that the Palmer Police Department plays, but it's not in tracing the attacker across borders and through the woods and so on.
Sure, and that's the real trick is generally crimes in Alaska are investigated where the crime actually is committed, and usually that's where the offender is. Now, clearly, we probably have a victim in Palmer. We've had several, and we want to get help for that individual and provide as much justice as we can for them. And so the organizations that are best qualified to do that are the ones that have the resources to get investigations going in perhaps other nations, even, and certainly in other states. So we do a lot of liaising with organizations in the lower 48 and certainly with federal organizations that look into these.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Sure.
Since we started out with a little bit of technology, I always like to check on the update, in particular of technology involving videos. I know that the city of Palmer has continued to pursue the placement of video cameras and so on. Where is that all at the present time?
So it's in the planning stage at the moment.
Still?
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing has been rolled out. We're looking at the feasibility of the thing, and it can be done. And it's simply a matter of where and how much. And those are actually two extremely important questions when it comes to things like video, because we have to call it what it is. It is a video recording system that is monitoring a public piece of ground. So there are several questions, both legal and then philosophical or ethical, if you will, that you have to examine before you decide you want to employ these and where you want to employ them. So the legal questions are, where does an individual have an expectation of privacy? Mm-hmm. And those are clearly off limits. Nor would we want to put cameras there, because one of the primary missions of Palmer Police Department is to protect people's privacy when we can. So the focus is going to be on property that is owned or maintained by the city, where we have had demonstrable evidence of criminal activity on a fairly routine basis. And the two places that we've looked at so far are the airport and the amusement park, or mm-hmm. the park over by the Moose Lodge. Reason being, crimes at the airport might seem small when we're talking about a fuel theft or something along those lines, but the reality is any type of tampering in or around an aircraft should be an immediate cause for some significant concern. And so we are very concerned about that, and we want to make sure that airport is secure and safe for people to operate from. And one of the things that we think we can do with that as a deterrent measure is employ a few video cameras in locations that are designed to surveil only those public access areas or public use areas. So businesses will still be, if they choose, running their own camera systems, and many of them do, but we will not be surveilling or pointing security cameras at private businesses. That's not what these are for. They're for access areas like the main roads into the airport, that kind of thing.
So that raises an interesting question in my mind. So what about a private business? Are there restrictions on what their cameras can cover?
Well, yes and no. There are less restrictions on a private individual in terms of what their cameras can do. And simply that's because the law is designed to limit government intrusion. So a search warrant is required for government organizations to do something that is not generally covered by the United States Constitution, and that is to restrict the powers of government to search and seize. In this particular case, since we're talking about video cameras, we're really talking about the Fourth Amendment for all intents and purposes.
All right.
A search and a seizure. In a place where there's no expectation of privacy, then we don't have a search or a seizure typically, according to generally established law. However, if you want to, and this gets fairly complicated, for example, we can talk about this in the context of perhaps a thermal imager.
Okay.
You might remember the Kylo decision from back in the early 2000 era, and that involved thermal imagers. And could those be used for law enforcement to try to locate marijuana grows? Because marijuana grows generate quite a bit of heat.
Okay.
And so these thermal imagers, it's a forward-looking infrared. It's a FLIR. It sees heat. It cannot see through windows. It cannot see through walls. It just sees temperature variations.
Right.
And as a result, the Supreme Court decided, and the Ninth Circuit agreed that the law enforcement cannot use a thermal imager on a building for the express purpose of a criminal investigation unless it's pursuant to a search warrant. In other words, you have to apply for a warrant in order to point these at a house to see if there might be heat coming from the house from a dope grow. You could use them for search and rescue without a search warrant.
Okay.
But you could not use it from a criminal investigation. And a great deal of litigation went into that decision. So These are not simple, always cut and dried answers. The balance we try to strike with things like video cameras is the expectation of privacy and the ethical concerns balanced against the law, first and foremost, and then is what do people want from their government? Where do people want these things to be? Because a lot of people are not at all, and I'm one of them, not in favor of a big brother sister system where the government is always watching everything people do. And so there was some discussion about where these cameras might best be used, and we wanted to focus on where there is a demonstrated need, or in other words, where is there criminal activity? So the airport was one for safety, and the amusement park was another, again, for safety, because there's been a great deal of vandalism there. There have been a number of hypodermic needles coming up there. We've had complaints from parents about illicit or illegal activity in the area. And so these were the areas we wanted to monitor first and foremost from a safety standpoint.
So one of my favorite new technologies, now not so new, are drones.
Mm-hmm.
So two aspects of this. One, I seem to remember some cases, not necessarily here in Palmer, but around the country with drones being used where someone was flying a drone over a neighbor's property, for example.
Sure.
With a video there. Mm-hmm. And the question came, well, can you do that? Or is that intrusive? And you're smiling.
Well, the answer, from my perspective, the answer to both of those questions is yes. The reality is FAA regulations do not limit you flying a drone over your neighbor's property. Is it intrusive? I would say personally, yes, it is extremely intrusive. Does it mean that there's anything that the Palmer Police Department can do something about? That's a more complicated question, and the answer to that becomes a maybe. So if we are going to enforce a state law, say, for example, harassment, then that drone would have to meet the standards for something that is perhaps engaged in indecent viewing.
Okay.
Perhaps the drone is engaged in activity that's likely to create an immediate violent response. In other words, is the drone being used to harass a pet or a livestock or a person by buzzing them or something along those lines? Okay, now we have a violation of state law, and absolutely we will act on that. If the drone is 100 feet above someone's house and just hovering there, now we have a much more complicated issue. And this is probably going to involve the FAA and who's going to have to send out an investigator. So there are a myriad of guidelines in place for private use on drones. They can all be found on the FAA's website. And I would encourage anybody that wants to fly a drone to look those up before you decide to do that, especially if you're going to be flying anywhere in Palmer, because we're within 5 miles of the airport. And so there are some restrictions that immediately come into play.
Sure.
And then also if the thing to remember with drones, and this is easy to say but hard for a lot of people to do, is common sense, decency and courtesy towards your neighbors should always be foremost in your mind. And if we can follow those rules, it avoids a lot of problems right there.
Well, the second question involving drones. There have been examples of drones being used by the police forces to find someone who is either missing or running away mm-hmm. in the woods, etc.
Sure.
How does that work? Because that's kind of an interesting...
Well, in Palmer, it doesn't. The reason is we are still working on a drone policy that has to conform with state guidelines.
Okay.
And so there's a lot that goes into formulating a policy for drones about when they can use, who can operate the drone, and it's going to have to be a licensed operator, what type of flight log it's going to have in terms of where it's been, when the camera was activated, what it was for. There has to be a notification system to the public that goes out when a law enforcement agency in Alaska flies a drone. In other words, we have to be able to notify the citizens of Palmer that the Palmer Police Department is operating a drone if we are going to operate a drone. And right now we don't, simply because it's a much more complicated equation than it might seem at first glance. In other words, just getting somebody certified and trained to operate the drone, having the guidelines in place for when we're going to launch the drone, making sure that, and again, this is where it becomes interesting, because a private individual flying a drone over whatever piece of property, provided it's not violating state law, is typically not going to be subject to the requirements of a search warrant. But a law enforcement organization, and this again, this comes back to the protections of the Fourth Amendment, if they're going to operate a camera anywhere that would not be generally accessible to the public, and I would say drones probably fall into this category, for the purposes of a criminal investigation, in other words, to gather evidence, if you're going to use that, then you're going to probably be subject to search warrant requirements, so the evidence is going to get thrown out, and there could be all kinds of other issues coming up with it. So it sounds like a simple thing. Just launch a drone, look for the bad guy. In reality, it's much, much more complicated than that.
Well, thank you. Very often when we think of these things, or because perhaps we have been used to hearing about them in some other locations or even in dramatic representations of searches, that it seems so simple. But as you've pointed out so nicely, there's a lot of detail here.
Sure. The act itself is simple. The question is it legal and is it ethical? And both of those are very big checkboxes for us. We have a can you do it, should you do it philosophy at the Palmer Police Department. So, drones, it's a touchy topic right now.
Okay. Well, this is the last show we'll have before the Alaska State Fair begins next Thursday. And I always like to think about reminding people about safety at the fair, and also typically that whole process begins with getting to the fair, traffic, et cetera. And the Palmer Police Department has a role to play, although the fair, as we've said in the past, has its own security force. Maybe you could just sort of take a look at where fairgoers might expect to see the Palmer Police Force.
So you can expect to see us in the fairgrounds just about at any given time. The officers will do walkthroughs of the state fair several times a day. And this is regardless of actual calls for service. In other words, they'll just go do walkthroughs and security checks and say hi and talk to people, that kind of thing. And then, of course, we go for events that the fairgrounds would call us for. And that ranges – usually they handle minor stuff kind of in-house with their own security. But certainly any type of violence, major thefts, drunk and disorderly, those kinds of things, we'll generally get a call and respond for that. So you'll see us there. There will be certainly an increased presence from the Palmer Police Department and the state troopers on the road in and around the Alaska State Fairgrounds, starting, you know, on the Glen Highway all the way up through town. So because there are going to be delays, and in some cases the delays, if it's a sunny Saturday, could be quite long. So I think we're going to be spared a great deal of construction on the Glen Highway this year. That's probably not going to start till 2019, from what I'm told. But nevertheless, it can only handle so much traffic on the pavement that we've got. And as a result, people just need to plan for extra time. The Palmer Wasilla, the Glen Highway, the Old Glen Highway, these all get pretty backed up at one time or another. So I imagine Bogard will see the same kind of increase this year.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I was just thinking – the city of Palmer has now had some time to adjust to the smoking ordinance that has been in place for a while. Have there been smoking infractions that involve a response from Palmer Police Department?
I don't want to say categorically no, but what I would say is that there have not been many, if any, that I have gotten calls from since the initial ordinance was rolled out.
Okay.
And initially, whenever you have a new ordinance, a municipal ordinance, the first thing we try to do is educate rather than cite and be very enforcement heavy. We want to make sure people understand the ordinance and know what it means. And I think that was fairly well achieved. And also, I think it was a fairly popular ordinance that got a lot of local support. So, no, we have not been called to a great deal of illicit smoking incidents. So, in terms of smoking, most of the calls that we get now are folks that don't quite understand where it is legal or not legal to use marijuana. And so sometimes we do get some calls on that. But again, most people have been extremely respectful of it. And
since you brought it up, where is it legal or illegal?
So, basically in a private place with either the consent of the owner, for the most part, and that does not include private places that are open to the public. In other words, there are no marijuana bars basically
right
yet. So,
So inside the building, outside on the porch, on the yard.
Yeah, and there's some verbiage in there about the odor or the smoke of the marijuana
right
infringing or encroaching on the property of your neighbors as well. So
okay, yeah. But once again, you haven't had to respond to
few, generally very few. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've asked a whole bunch of questions. We have a minute or two left where you might discuss something or tell listeners about something that the police department would like them to know.
So in terms of questions, I don't have any, but if you do have questions for the Palmer Police Department, I would encourage you to call 745-4811. One of the things I've been doing is meeting with a couple of the local boards in the city recently, the Planning and Zoning and Board of Economic Development, and we're going to be ramping up the Neighborhood Watch program again, probably with another large community meeting around the first of the year. And so please get ready for some announcements on that. If you can attend, we'd love to have you. The officers are happy to come do an inspection of your business, an inspection of your home. If you would like us to take a look at it in order to recommend some security enhancements that might make your property less attractive to thieves or vandals. And the reason for that is we've had an increase in property crime over the last couple of years. It's not unique to Palmer by any means, but it has gone up a fair amount, as well as criminal trespassing. So please don't be afraid to give us a call. It's our job to react. It's our honor to come and help you, and we would love to do that.
Okay. Mike Malevsky here, and I've been speaking with Palmer Police Chief Lance Ketterling once again for Inside the City. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, Mike.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.